You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. For more on whether big banks are any safer, plus the other big stories, we rounded up some friends to go have brunch. We are out having brunch at the Cornerstone Tavern on 2nd Avenue in New York, and I have got Jessica Pressler from New York Magazine with me and Joe Weisenthal from Business Insider. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I want to talk about Wall Street and the big banks, because it kind of blows my mind that here we are, they've submitted these living wills that the government said, yeah, no, that's not going to work for us. And also we have this record fine that is being discussed, a record settlement being discussed between Bank of America and the government as well. I kind of feel like are we watching a rerun? What is going on here? It's 2014.
I never understood the concept of a living will. I mean, I understand the concept, which is that you have this plan in place so that if your bank is failing, you can be more organized about. But I never, like, understood how it was really supposed to work in practice, because you never really know, like, how the crisis is going to strike and where
right.
there's going to be a run and where there's not going to be liquidity.
Right.
And the idea that these banks that are so large could ever not be too big to fail kind of seems laughable.
Like, yeah, I think it's
there's
just
no way they're not too big to fail, no matter what kind of what they put in writing.
It's another way of them being like, promise it's not going to happen again. Like,
right.
trust us.
Okay,
right.
But to be a little counterintuitive, is there a role that consumers have to play? I mean, how much do we enable this, right? If you're saying these banks are so huge, do we have to step back and stop banking at them?
That is, like, such a huge question. Like, philosophically, we're, like, all so complicit in everything that happened, as far as I'm concerned. Like, yeah, I mean, Joe's
I feel
skeptical.
Like, no, I mean, I just feel like, one, that it's really unlikely to move the needle at all. And I also kind of wonder whether ultimately the risk would just be transferred in a different way. I mean, we had a Great Depression before there were no mega banks, and instead we just had thousands of bank failures, really tiny ones.
That's an excellent point.
So I don't, you know, I like the spirit, and I certainly think that you know, shifting around where we put our money, I'm skeptical will really somewhere, there'll always be financial crises
right.
in the future.
Well, I would just like to say I give a free advertisement to Schwab because they reimburse all my ATM fees.
Oh, yes. No, I'm also use Schwab for the same reason. Yeah, great.
Hi. I am curious about the buying power, not of us. I mean, we're all in our 30s. We're adults, theoretically. Jessica, you have spent some time with Lorde, the singer, pop sensation. You've been to Lollapalooza. I want to know what millennials, and actually not even millennials, people younger than that are thinking, doing, buying. How are they doing this? Because I have a sense that it's very, very different than what we were doing.
You know, it's funny. I think that's what everybody wants to know right now. I was just visiting a friend at Bloomberg, and he introduced me to their millennials reporter. Like, they have a dedicated millennials reporter. So that's kind of fascinating. And,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, Lorde is not – I mean, is she a millennial? She's 17 years old. I mean, I just watched her perform and was, like, in front of thousands of people and was just kind of like, 17 years old, 17 years old. I couldn't, like, get over it. It was pretty amazing. But I will tell you that millennials are buying a lot of very short shorts right now. Very short shorts in
so
floral prints.
You're bullish on short shorts.
I'm bullish on short shorts and Rebecca Minkoff handbags.
Right. Jessica Pressler from New York Magazine, Joe Weisenthal from Business Insider. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.